On today's episode of the GYST podcast, we unpack a powerful question. When was the last time you were vulnerable? Join us as we delve into the complexities of being vulnerable, sharing personal stories, insights, and practical tips. All this and more coming right up.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the GYST podcast, where we discuss topics to help you get your together.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the GYST podcast, otherwise known as the Get Your
Shit
Together. My name is Patrick. I'm your host for this topic. And with me in the studio today is
Scott Chang on the mic.
Rohit Rohila.
Glenn Rux here.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to a very exciting topic today. I'll give you guys a little bit of information on this one. So I thought about this question a couple weeks ago. Just laying in my own bed, looking at the, you know, the dark ceiling, thinking about various things about life. And a question came up was, when was the last time I was vulnerable? And I had a hard time figuring that out. I couldn't quite remember. There were a couple like scenarios that ran through my head of things that I believe that I would consider myself vulnerable at the time. I had some emotional periods and some triumphant things, but it was really interesting that I kind of drew a blank on that. And even now, talking about it, and after weeks of prep, I still can't quite find specific scenarios on why that was. And so I wanted to open up the discussion. You know, this one's going to be more about this stuff that I'm discovering and asking you the same questions. And even listeners at home, that same question, when was the last time you were vulnerable?
What if we were to actually define vulnerable real quick?
Physically or emotionally?
Oh, great one. So I had it written down from a definition is somewhere in these notes. Vulnerability is a state of being exposed or open, embracing imperfections and uncertainties. Would you all agree with that?
Yes, I think I would. There might be a little bit more nuance to it, but yes.
That's kind of how I went about it. It's like, when was the last time that I allowed myself to be open, to allow myself to be hurt, and to make a better connection with those around me? It just doesn't really happen for me. And I've come to an interesting conclusion on that is either A, it hasn't happened. And I don't want to believe that. I want to believe that I have been vulnerable in the past. I just don't quite understand that. And the other conclusion I came up with was either it's so something as a weakness or I look down on as a negative that I would rather forget than to cherish that.
I think that's probably the average for people, right? Because the word vulnerability or vulnerable does come up with negative connotations.
I've always treated it as a negative thing.
And more so since we're all men around this table. It's harder for men to be vulnerable in today's society because we're all expected to have certain views and certain strengths. We're not supposed to be showing off our vulnerabilities, right? According to society.
It's interesting. Is it society based or maybe it's just a lack of knowledge about what it is and what it can do? Because I've learned about it over the last few months to over the last year of my own personal development journey, understanding that vulnerability is not necessarily a weakness, but I still struggle with knowing what it is and how to fully embrace it.
But you don't remember a time, like a standout moment that you were vulnerable.
The only time, so when I answered that immediate question, the only time I ever remember this was, it was shortly after my grandmother passed. I'm in Hawaii with Amy. It's on her kind of honeymoon after a year's worth of wedding. And I just started crying, just let it all out kind of in a public-ish area. Just didn't care. Just basically felt everything I possibly could in that moment. Exposed.
It's almost like a dam burst.
A higher, more vulnerable self to somebody else. So for me, it's expressing that to somebody else other than me. And that's kind of the only time I can think of. But if I were to ask maybe you three, if you have ever seen me in a vulnerable state before, you might give a scenario that I never even would have considered it being vulnerable, like trying something new, for example, or being wrong, or there are so many other possibilities than just a sadness emotional break.
So when I notice you, when we've hung out, your vulnerability is different than mine per se. What I always think when you're vulnerable is when you struggle to process something, is when you're kind of in that weird limbo where you don't know to move forward or to move backward, or you're almost, it's like a computer that cannot compute. That's what I notice, is like, that's when I think you're vulnerable. But for, you know, it's different for me. It's definitely different for Glenn.
Yeah.
I feel like when you don't know the answer is when you're at your most vulnerable.
Oh, that is good insight.
Like for you, you always have to know that end game result. It has to be the correct result every time. It doesn't matter how long it takes to get there, but for you, you need to know what that is.
It sort of plays into our dominant styles then. My need to be right, you know, the need to be loved, the need to have fun, the need to not be wrong. I'm sure I'm missing one.
No, because for mine, it's the polar goddamn opposite. And I've even gotten it my last vulnerable like time to the date and even time. And you guys will know why. It was when my ex-girlfriend broke up with me. And it was on April 19th, 2015, about 6 o'clock at night. The only reason why I know that time is because I had just finished playing tennis with Harry. We got back. I always call her. And I called her. And she said, hey, this is not going to work out. I'm too far away. I might not be. She wasn't a citizen at the time. She's like fearing deportation and everything. And it's not going to work. So I want to break up with you. So I don't want to hurt you in sort of way. And I'm like, hey, let's talk about this. I want to work this out. I've already been with you for 6-7 months. I went out of my way to study and learn about laws and everything. And she just drops this on me. So that hurt. Yeah, it did. It was awful. I was super vulnerable. But what hurt worse was afterwards. Harry had gone upstairs and, you know, we had already broken up at that point. I was upset. It was kind of a mess. I don't show it very well. But I asked Harry, hey, would you want to hang out for a little bit? And he's like, hey, I'm so sorry, man. My water tank just broke. I got to fix this right now. I'm going to have to crash over at my cousin's house tonight. So I said, okay, that's fine. You do you. And I was upset. I was really pissed. And I just got out my car. I parked out at his house. I went on a run. And that's when I marked down my run time. So I know exactly what time, what date, what my speed was, how many miles I ran. I ran 11 miles that night after playing tennis for about 2.5 hours. I went about 5 miles one direction. I was tired. I called. At that point, I called 2 or 3 other my friends. None of them answered. I was like, okay. And I was coming up with excuses. Like, oh, they're working. Oh, they're on vacation. And I went another 2-3 miles. I called another one of my friends. Nobody answered. Or like, hey, I'm at work. I can't do anything. I'm sorry. I'll talk to you in like a week or so. And I kept going. And eventually I ran out of people to call. Who I thought were my friends, my close friends. And this was probably 2015, so 8 years ago. And I feel kind of bad because I should have called any one of you guys. But I don't think I was that close to you all then. And I was just a hot mess. Like running down the road. I think my pace was 10 minutes and 30 seconds, whatever. It's not that fast, but it's fast enough for me. And I kept going and I kept going. I started to feel all these emotions. You know, I always thought I was there for my friends. I thought they'd be there for me. This was my lowest moment. I called so many people on my phone. Nobody answered. I texted. Nobody got back to me. And at some point, you know, that sadness gave way and I got hateful. I was pissed. I was angry. I was like, where are you when I need you the most? When you need somebody to move you, I'm there. When you had a bad breakup, I was there. When you just needed something, just wanted to hang out and talk, I was there. My lowest moment in my fucking life, nobody was there. And at that point, I said, no, never again. At that point, I felt like I was just playing a role now. I'm known as the nice guy. I will be that nice guy until you don't need me anymore. And then I can remove myself from your life. And I kept going. At this point, I was getting close to, I was 10 miles in. I was fuming, but I'm glad I was running because it made me tired. And I probably needed that. So it just helped calm me down. If my legs couldn't move anymore, then I couldn't go any further. I could just calm down and eventually get back to my car. So 11 miles in, my legs started to give out and I made it back to my car. Got in the car. I was still angry, but I had to go home, just showered, didn't want to talk to anybody the rest of the night because I realized nobody was there. I called so many people, I texted so many people. The next person who called me was probably, or got a hold of me was like 3 days later, I think. Like, hey, what's up? What do you need? At that point, you know, I felt like I cut everybody out and like my walls are up. It's like, hey, no, we're good. Don't worry about it. You know, what do you want me to say? I'm like, hey, I needed you at this moment. Where were you? But, you know, knowing me is, I was like, oh, you know, I always created an excuse. You guys were, oh, you were busy. You didn't know. Oh, you were on vacation. Like, I can't blame you. Oh, you're working. Oh, who knows? And so at that point, I was, you know, I don't want to get that close to anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still dealing with that to this day. Like, this is the first time I've talked about it. And a lot of people ask me, like, why are you so nice? I'm nice because the worst I feel about myself, I reverse it. If I feel terrible, I'm nice to somebody else. That makes me feel a little bit better. And during that time, it was just darkness and that, but nobody knew the difference. You know, I was bringing donuts to work every other day just to make people feel happy about themselves. And, you know, hey, they're in a good mood. That kind of cheers me up a little bit. Maybe I am worth something. You know, that was it. The thing that hurt me the most was not being broken up. It was not breaking up. Yeah, that was awful, but it was just the roller coaster I went down fucking afterwards.
Mm.
Yeah, I bury a lot of those feelings.
And the thing is, I try to now, but it's still, it comes out. There are times where it's just rage.
Yeah.
And I have to find healthy outlets for it.
It kind of reminds me of a quote from Brené Brown, where she said, basically, vulnerability is a source of creativity, innovation, and connection. And I feel like the connection part was kind of rung a little bit with what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's,
but it's,
it's gotten better. I mean, it's been 8 years and it's gotten better, but it was hard because afterwards I realized I bought a plane ticket to go see her in about a week or 2 weeks and I couldn't refund it.
Ouch.
So luckily, you know, it was a good thing I did go because, you know, I became closer friends with my friend down here and, you know, I hung out with her and her husband. And I actually really had a blast. You know, granted, I was in a bad headspace, but they helped me pull me through. And, I mean, it was also terrible because, I mean, it was all about balance there. Whatever good happened to me and negative happened. So I found out that she really just broke up with me because she found somebody, a bigger, better model. So I was like, okay, well, if that was the case, why don't you just tell me? But damage is already done. But I did have fun there. It was great. I'm glad I went. It made my relationship with my friend and her husband closer. So I see them, I try to see them at least once a year or every other year now. So some light did come out of it. But still, like, that was a big eye opener for me, realizing that there was a time when I needed somebody and nobody was there.
I think it's those times you're going to find who the real friends are.
Yeah.
Like, I've been lucky these last few years, and I've kind of taken it for advantage a few times. I've missed opportunities when I know if I'm in that dark space, right? I know, mentally, right? I know exactly who I could call. I know I'm going to call Rohit. I know all I have to do is say, hey, I need you real quick. He'll be there.
It's so hard for me because when I do that, I feel like I'm the inconvenience.
Right, right.
Hey, I'm pulling you from your life, of your happiness, your joy, to deal with my pain. It's like, you don't need that. It's like, no, you do you. I'll try to figure it out on my own. And that's probably the last thing I should have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I've treated almost everything, is pulling back and catering to others. I don't ever, never want to be a burden to somebody else, ever. And that's how I feel quite a bit sometimes. Is it just a burden?
Mm. God. Your story, Scott, it really hits a nerve, right? Because I think we can all say we've all had relationship issues, yeah. Right?
Pat, asshole.
Yeah. So in a different way.
Right. In different ways, but
a different way.
We've all gone through some sort of relationship. Okay.
I've never had a breakup. I've never, my wife is each other's first boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, but boy, did I pursue and get shot down and rejected and hurt quite a bit, even though that was an official, but I did do some stupid things in my youth.
Yep. Well, Scott, just like, you went through, I went through a breakup recently myself, right? I was dating a girl beginning of the year and she broke up with me over text.
Ah,
now that's
painful. Yeah, that's because it's so one-sided. You don't get to hear it. It's so easy to do.
Right. And I don't know. I went through some very dark moments after that. I was very polite and cordial with her. I don't think she realized how much it hurt. And to be honest, I'm not sure if she even cared. But I know I went through a very dark few weeks right after that. I only told one person what had happened with that relationship. And he's sitting right here to my right. But I don't know. I was definitely vulnerable. I was hurting, but I didn't take advantage of the support that I know I would have had.
I guess it's one thing to be in that state and another to express it.
Right.
And as men, I can understand the expression part being very difficult.
Yeah, because, you know, nowadays toxic masculinity is a thing. It's like, oh, just tough it up. Why are you being such a pussy about it? I fucking hate that term.
Like, to this day, I've never cried in front of other people other than a very, very small select few.
Well, I've cried on this podcast multiple times.
That's what everyone keeps saying. I feel like I'm the only one that hasn't gotten to that point yet.
I think the most vulnerable I've ever been is in this setting, in the podcast. I've shared more about my feelings here than I've ever shared, even with my family, my friends.
I'm trying to open it up right now.
I'm getting close. I'm getting close. I'm sure it can push me over the edge.
A lot of it is, I feel like it's, for me, it's rage tears because I feel like I'm not allowed to be angry. So when tears come out, it's not from sadness. It's almost from rage because I can't express it any other way.
Yeah.
Using vulnerability as a catalyst for change. I have said before that for the most impactful change to happen, you sometimes have to have the most impactful pain to kick it off. And what brought on that question initially was times in my life that brought on significant change. Was it because I was truly being vulnerable, or was it something else? And I still believe that. I feel like in order to change, to get that quite kick in the balls, you really need to feel it and express it and show it, and holding it in just isn't going to work.
I think with me, after going through that, I didn't want anybody to go through the same thing I did. So I made it a point after my dark period of, I don't know, a couple months, whatever, I made more effort to hang out or see people just to be a part of their lives, to be like, hey, you know, if you're having a crappy day, I'll be there, whatever. But I just didn't want, maybe I was just worried that if that day ever came again, I want somebody to call and answer. Would be somebody would answer on the other side.
You would never want to cause the level of hurt that you might have gone through to somebody else, especially intentionally or unintentionally. You know, same thing for me. The reason why I'm so reserved is because probably of some pain that I'm yet to express or explore. Everything that I do is because of some sort of event that's triggered it.
Now, you mentioned earlier how vulnerability could be a positive, like experiencing emotions and letting it, like, you know, flow through you. Is, I mean, what's an example of that?
So there was a conversation that Rohit, you and I had, when you asked me that question, what does vulnerability mean to you? Do you want to jump in on that, or you want me to?
Sure. Sorry. I thought you were going to dive into it a little bit more.
I didn't want to get it wrong.
I appreciate that. What's interesting is I'm just going to toss this question out there real quick. And for the audience at home right now, it's just the four of us guys here. Tia's not in the studio today. So it's just myself, Glenn, Patrick, and Scott. So I'm asking you guys to channel in not the you that's a part of this podcast, not the you that is an integral part of my life. Don't consider that. Think about just the generalizations. I'm going to ask a word, or I'm going to ask a question, and just give me the first quick answers that you get. Okay. What does the word vulnerable mean? Go ahead. Just shout out. Shout it out.
Pain.
Pain. What else? Come on.
Weakness.
Fear. Hurt. Weakness. Hurt. Pain. Right? Exactly. When we talk about the word vulnerable, we are so afraid of those things. We're afraid of being hurt and let down and susceptible to pain. Scott, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You said the story that you graciously shared with us is a story that not too many people know about.
I don't think anybody knows about it.
You also said this the first time in 8 years when you've truly thought about it yourself.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now?
I feel, to be honest, I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
What else? Keep going. Dive into it. Feel the emotion.
So when before the podcast, you know, I saw Pat came up with a topic and I was just writing down notes and I realized that I could pinpoint exactly the date and the time and everything. And it was because of my running app. But when I was going to my running app, I blame this moment for my disdain of running. After that,
Do you mind if I cut you off? Tell me how you're feeling right now.
I'm feeling...
You already said you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders. Yeah, what else?
It's been lifted off my shoulders. I feel like there are people willing to listen to me.
Okay, what else? Keep going.
I feel like I've achieved a lot since then.
Keep going.
I found that, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel that I don't have to bottle it up inside. I felt like I've chipped down my walls, and I'm not judged for it.
Excellent. Patrick, Glenn, do you consider the story that Scott shared a moment of vulnerability on his part?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, just you two, Scott and Glenn, or sorry, Patrick and Glenn, just shout out words right now, just single words on what you believe Scott to be. Go ahead.
Stronger.
Strong.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Brave.
What else?
Experienced.
What else? One more.
Determined.
Now, how does that make you feel, Scott, hearing those words used to describe you?
That's strange because I'm not used to it, but it feels really good just to hear that.
And you know what caused that? Vulnerability. See, when we talked about the word vulnerable, what do we immediately think about? Weakness, susceptible to pain. The risk, yeah, right?
The negatives.
And I'm telling you, the more, quote, vulnerable you are, the stronger you are. Nobody sees you as weak. Nobody sees the version of you that you see in yourself. Because when we all look in the mirror, what do we see? We're all looking for the flaws. Why would someone want to support me? Why would someone want to love me? Even if it means holding on to old pain from 8 years ago, we're going to hold on to that. Why? Because it matches what we believe about ourselves. And right now, before today, the beliefs that you had about yourself, Scott, was that you don't deserve love. You don't deserve friendship. You don't deserve to feel. You don't deserve to hurt. You don't deserve to love. And by you opening up in 10 minutes, you're feeling lighter than you have in 8 years. You probably feel more confident than you have in 8 years. But more importantly, you realize that you love yourself now more than you have for the past 8 years.
It's a beautiful way to put it.
It's sort of like hopefully I don't ruin that beautiful moment, but no. Sort of like a door, you know, the more that you open up, it kind of works both ways. It, you let out, but it also lets in as well.
Yeah, I never thought about that way. The way I've always seen myself is like, I hate using this analogy. It's like a box of tissues. I'm the box. The tissues are just inside. And I just give out whatever tissues for anything you need. But once the tissues are gone, you toss the box away. So I'm always looking for a way to fill up that, you know.
So the way I used to describe myself before, and I would actually say this to people on how I would describe myself. I was the friend who is walking by, sees you trying to jump up to get a ladder. Right. But it's just out of reach. You're jumping up. You can't grab the bottom rung. And I listen to you and I talk to you. You tell me why you want to grab the ladder, how it's just been your dream that you want to get the ladder. And what do? I envision you climbing the ladder. I see a version of you that hasn't yet been realized outside of your own dreams. I want to do whatever I can to support you. So I get on all fours. You climb on my back. You grab the ladder. And you keep climbing and never look back to see how you got there. And that is how I would always describe myself. And God, I realized by me believing that about myself, that was the situation that I was always creating. If you go 8 years thinking that you are a burden, that you're a nuisance, that you don't have the right to feel, that no one's going to be there for you, what reality are you creating by that? The exact same. You're going to create situations where the same thing happens. If you get hurt again, you probably could have 10 people that you would call, but instead you're just going to call 5. And you're like, man, all 5 rejected me. Therefore, I don't deserve love. Well, what about the other 5? Right? But what happens is we create situations that align with our thought process. And when I said I'm the one who helps everyone reach their goals, without them looking back and saying, wow, what did I do? How did I get here? There's one person in particular that I always think of when I think about this situation. When I met her, she was broken. And when I say broken, she was verbally, sexually, physically, mentally raped in all sense of the words. And I remember multiple conversations of her and I to all hours at night. We were in college together and just building her up. And she was built up. She had the confidence. She was feeling herself again. And, you know, little by little, we just kind of went our own ways. I tried multiple times getting back in touch with her. And Scott, as a fellow koala, you can understand what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, let me just reach out one more time. Maybe situations have changed. But that was it. And so whenever I thought about that scenario, I would always think of her. But I realized in me believing that I'm going to help other people achieve their dreams, but they're not going to be thankful for what I've been able to do to them, I hit the same rebelliousness as you. Fine, I'm just going to stop helping people. But the thing is, I learned what the word vulnerable means. And I still remember exactly where I was when I kind of came to terms. I was at a personal development seminar in Everett. It was a weekend-long one. And I went up to the facilitator. And I said, I kind of need your help. I just have some low self-esteem. I'm always helping people. No one's helping me. All this kind of stuff, right? And as I was describing it to him, Brian Miller is his name, and I'm so thankful for him. As I'm describing who I've been, I was telling him, I'm the person who's going to sacrifice everything I can to help other people. I'm the one who you call me in the middle of the night with a flat tire. I'm going to be there for you. I never delete any phone numbers from my cell phone because I made a promise to everyone in my life. If you need me, I'm going to be there. And as I'm describing this person to him, you know, I could see in his face, he's like, okay, here's what, you know, I'm going to steer the conversation around your self-limiting beliefs and all that kind of stuff. But I just stopped midway and I was like, you know what? I don't have low self-esteem. In fact, I love myself. If someone said to me, there's this person out there who has these traits, what would you think of them? I would be like, man, that's an awesome friend. I get to be that person. And that's when, like, he's like, wait, hold on. Wait, let's address some other things. I was like, no, I'm good. And he's like, wait, hold on. Okay, let's go back to this. I was like, no, like, Brian, I'm good. And I still remember I skipped away from him. Like, because it was a break time. And I just felt so light that I skipped away. And just, I went outside and just stretched out my arms and gave the day a hug. And that's when I realized it's okay to be me. I'm looking at all three of you right now. Where else do you hang out where it's okay for you to hug other people, to be vulnerable, to not be like we talked about earlier, that macho man, to just be you? So many people say that they only experience that here or around me, that I've created this situation. But the thing is, this is how we all feel. If we didn't feel that way, none of you guys would be doing that. You wouldn't come here and hug each other if you didn't really want to do that at your core. So all this is a safe place for you to truly be you.
That's beautiful. So in your case, you just had to hear it for yourself.
Yeah. Like, think about you, right? All the things that you described about yourself, same thing. So if the rest of the world can love Scott Chang, why can't Scott Chang love Scott Chang?
It's a million-dollar question right there.
It's not, though. Do you love yourself?
I do, yeah.
Why?
Because I'm surrounded by good people.
No, stop. Don't make this okay. About other people.
I've gone through worse and I can always do better. I can focus if I need to. And
you're not giving me anything.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You can focus. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Do you love Scott Chang? Do you love yourself?
It's a hard question.
It's not. You're making it hard.
I am making it hard. I'm thinking, like, what does everybody want to hear? And that's the problem.
That is.
I honestly don't love who I am. I love where I want to be. Where that I love the fact that I can get there under my own strength. And that's going to be a struggle. And I love the fact that I'm willing to fucking make that struggle. And that's going to be a challenge for me. Just being, you know, being told what you're worth, and I'm starting to ignore people and just listen to me. And like in your situation, I just need to hear it from my goddamn self.
There's one exercise in particular that I do in the seminar environment where, I'm not going to spoil it because Glenn's the only one who has experienced this exercise, but in it, we look at self-worth and how we're always willing to take the back burner on ourselves. Patrick, earlier, I asked you if you wanted me to be on this episode, and you're like, oh, you can be. I was like, okay, let me go up and get the mic. And you're like, no, that's okay. I don't want to inconvenience you, right? Has this been, just a quick yes or no, have I been able to add anything to this episode?
Absolutely.
Why did you almost talk yourself out of that then?
Because I didn't want to inconvenience you on anything.
Perfect.
You gave the impression that you wanted to do something and I felt guilty because I'm taking something away from you.
Perfect. So all three of you at times have said, I didn't want to seem like an inconvenience. I didn't want to bother anyone, right? Why would I, in my right mind, love each of you if you don't love yourselves? It doesn't make sense. So when we think about how we're inconveniencing other people, let me ask each of you guys a question. I'll do it individually. Glenn, I'm having a horrible time and I need someone. Will you be there for me?
You got it.
Patrick, will you be there for me?
Yes.
Scott, will you be there for me?
I'm there.
What if I said, you know, I went through a really tough time and it was my lowest low and I wanted to reach out to you, Glenn. I wanted to reach out to you, Patrick. I wanted to reach out to you, Scott, but I just didn't want to inconvenience you.
Mm. That would make me mad.
You'd be surprised at how often that's actually happened.
Then why do you guys expect the same of everyone else when it comes to you?
I don't ever.
You do.
I don't expect somebody to call out for me if they need me.
No. What I'm saying is, if you would be upset with me for not reaching out to you, why are you afraid to reach out to others?
Judgment.
So, is that right?
Oh, that was the first thing that came to my head. Now you're casting doubt.
If you want me to reach out to you if I'm down, but you feel like you can't reach out to me because you would be bothering me, you'd be an inconvenience. Well, what if I said the same thing to you? How would that make you feel?
It would be hurtful, yeah.
So then why is it okay for you to cause hurt and pain to others? You know why? It's because you want others to feel the way that you feel. There's a bit of rebelliousness. There's a little bit of, you weren't there for me, I'm not going to be there for you. But it all stems down to, what do we believe we deserve? And what are the expectations that we're matching? If you're holding on to 8-year beliefs of around hurt and pain, if you're holding on to beliefs of, even as a kid, I wasn't there, if you're holding on to beliefs that I don't deserve friendship and love and support, that's what you're going to create. Earlier, damn, I asked Scott, I was like, do you love yourself? And he hiccuped.
Yeah.
And if I asked you to the exact same question in a deep, meaningful way, could you give me an honest answer? And by honest, I mean not an automatic response of, yeah, I love myself. But do you truly, are you in love with Glenn Rux, with Patrick Liam, with Scott Chang? Because I'm telling you, if there's even a shed of doubt, you are rejecting love from other people.
Yeah, I'll answer that one. No. I got close. But not true.
And that's the question, though. How do you learn? Is it just improve yourself slowly over time?
Full acceptance of who you are.
Or just embrace it?
Yeah.
So the thing is, I know I don't want to be in this spot. And a lot of it is like, how do I get out of it? You know, do I sugarcoat it? That's why I'm always so nice, or I just, you know, I'm extra polite, or I will go above and beyond because I'm worried that if people see how nice I am, they think that I love myself and they won't question it. They're like, oh, he's fine. And I really hate that because it does. I mean, it was just stupidest thing. I mean, it's afterwards, I was, perfect example, I was giving donuts to all my friends. There's only one donut I like. It's the custard filled from Krispy Kreme. And every time somebody would always, I had two chances to get it, but I would hold back. I would never take it from the beginning. I would give out all the donuts and take whatever was left. Somebody always took the custard and I always gave it up. And I got so mad to the point where I realized that me doing nice things started to make me angry. I would go buy lunch for everybody or just pay out of my pocket. Cause at this point I didn't care where my money went because where I was going, I don't think I was going to need money. I was not in a good headspace. But I realized the nicer I was being, the more I was getting more angry because people were expecting it. And that's where I started to shut down again. A lot of people just started expecting, oh, hey, where's lunch today? Oh, hey, where are the donuts today? I realized I made it worse. I made it so that all I was that box of tissues that they were just trying to rip out and throw the box away. I was just giving everything I had for nothing.
You're not nothing to me.
Thanks, buddy.
Even a box of tissues is still a box that can be used for so much good. Tissues may be gone. Can be refilled.
That's my problems. I have to find something to refill with. And I feel like this is, you guys have been helping a lot. It has gotten a lot easier over the years. Actually, recently, perfect example is, you know, vulnerability. I would have never told anybody this, but we were having lunch with I was having lunch with a friend, and I mentioned that when I feel low, I feel bad. I do nice things just to make somebody's day a little bit better because it makes my day a little bit better. And she thought that was really nice. I told her not to tell anybody, but I would have never told anybody that ever. And it's nice to have a little weight off your shoulder every once in a while. I mean, I feel like it's going to be years before that weight's all gone, but I know slowly but surely how to get rid of it.
You get the strength by being vulnerable. Well, everyone, it's kind of a tricky one to wrap up, don't you think? Let's see here.
I feel like you have to embrace it, understand it first.
Yeah. Outros?
Yeah. No, not outros, but just vulnerability.
Vulnerability. So, all right.
It's not all weakness.
To recap this, know that it is okay to be vulnerable, and it should be something cherished or remembered, something not to be forgot about or discarded. Try to be. Journal, be present, seek support. By being truthful and open with oneself, you will start to see things and become truly, you know, a better person that you want to be. So thank you for all for joining us on this, in my opinion, incredible episode of the GYST podcast. Yeah, this is Patrick signing off. Take care and remember, it's okay to be vulnerable. In fact, it's where the magic happens.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to our GYST podcast. We hope you learned how to get your together.